Ready to stop trading time for money and build a business that can scale? Then you're in good company. This is the Productize Podcast, where I chat with entrepreneurs who've transformed their businesses using the Productize service model. I'm your host, Brian Castle. Want to learn my best strategies for productizing your business? Then get my free crash course by going to productizecourse.com. Now let's get into the show.
Hey now. Always wanted to try that on the air. I think that's the last time I'll do that. Anyway, today, really great conversation you're going to hear with David Lewis, who went through the Productize course, and he had a really interesting success story to get his new business launched. He actually managed to launch a highly focused service for Amazon sellers. And this was an interesting case study for a lot of reasons. You know, in this conversation, you're going to hear how David replaced his income from his corporate job, how he identified the core pain point to solve, how he focused on one solution without doing it all, and then his pricing strategy and his paths to kind of expand his service offering in new directions, and also how he leveraged his own firsthand experience to set himself apart. So we'll get right into that interview in just a moment. Now, today's quick tip when it comes to productized service is use warm email outreach to get your very first paying customers. I love this approach. I've used it myself. I've seen many, many students who've gone through the Productize course use the warm email approach. And actually now in the second edition of the Productize course, we now have a whole lesson devoted entirely to this. Now, what I mean by warm email outreach is, now, unlike cold email outreach, where you're sending emails to, you know, complete strangers off of a long list of prospects, warm email outreach, on the other hand, is sending an email to contacts in your personal network. So friends, it can even be family, colleagues, coworkers, folks that you've met at conferences and spoke to. Maybe you're in online communities together. Maybe you're in mastermind groups together. You want to start to put together a list of, you know, I'd like to shoot for about 20 to 25 names. That's kind of what I had when I launched my audience ops business. I found 25 names of friends and contacts who work in an industry that's somewhat related to the thing that I'm launching. So most of my contacts, you know, are bootstrapped entrepreneurs and whatnot, and they run SaaS companies. And so those are the people that I want to connect with to tell them about my new service. And now the point of this warm email contact is it's not so much about, hey, here's my new service, will you buy it from me? It's more about, hey, here's what I'm working on. I just want, you know, you're a friend of mine. I want to keep you updated on this new thing that I'm about to launch. First of all, I'd love to get your feedback, any suggestions, you know, based off of the landing page or what I'm describing here. And if you happen to know anyone that you think might be a good fit, I'd love an introduction. You know, it's just something simple like that. You know, I've got other templates available in the Productize course and whatnot, but, you know, that's a really great way to just get the ball rolling and just get the word out. Because typically before you even send those warm email contacts, before that, you alone are probably the only person who even knows that your productized service, your new business exists. And the whole point of doing this warm email outreach as a step number one is to begin to kind of, you know, plant your flag in the ground and let the world know, this is what I'm working on. If you happen to know anyone who has this problem that I'm aiming to solve, I'd love an introduction. So there's today's quick tip, warm email outreach. Now let's get into the conversation. All right, I'm here with another case study. Today I'm talking to David Lewis. David, welcome to the interview.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So you and I have been, you know, talking about your new productized service that you just launched just a couple of months ago, and less than 2 months ago, and since then you've managed to get three paying clients. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, launched November 4th.
Awesome. We're recording this in mid December, so yeah, like less than 2 months in. And. And I really loved the way that you went about, you know, sending warm emails to your personal contacts, and how that resulted in your very first client, and then a couple of referrals, and you've got some revenue stream coming in. So we're going to get into all those nitty gritty details of how you got the new service launched, and we'll also hear all about what it is. But it's basically in the Amazon space, helping sellers on Amazon get up and running with their product pages and whatnot. But you know, before we get into all of that, I want to kind of, you know, step back and let people kind of meet you and hear a little bit of your backstory. So where did you come from, you know, business wise, career wise, and how did this all lead into the idea to get into like productized services?
Sure. So I've been in product marketing for the past few years. Prior to that, channel marketing, and generally for wireless companies, software companies, so your traditional corporate position, and you know, the environment, the cube environment, but working on a variety of whether it's a service or a physical product, bringing it to market, going through a launch sequence, product life cycle, and obviously maximizing sales, working with the organization to maximize sales. So it was a good base, understanding product marketing for me to look into e-commerce, as it touches on so many areas that I was familiar with, from content marketing to branding to product naming. So this was kind of an area that I did have some expertise going into when I first started.
Very cool. And then you told me that you left your job in 2014?
Yeah, I left my job decided at the beginning of 2014 I needed to make a change. And it was really just asking myself the level of effort it would take to find my quote-unquote dream job, then the realization that, you know, probably within 6 months to a year, that would no longer be my dream job. I would either be burnt out on it, or they'd be burnt out on me, or I'd probably be looking for a change anyway. So rather than, you know, waste that effort of getting into the next position, I figured this was the opportune time to make that change and start something working for myself. So made that decision in January, and by May I had handed in my resignation to my boss. I gave her a 30-day notice, and then lo and behold, 2 weeks into my notice, my wife was let go from her corporate job.
Oh wow.
So it derailed it a little bit, but at that point it was too late to pull back. The company I was working for was going through cutbacks, and my position, which I had offered up, was given to someone else.
Mm.
And there was no looking back at that point.
Wow. So what was your first step from there?
So prior to leaving, I had identified a business opportunity based on a kernel of an idea about protecting mobile phones with a unique accessory that plugs the ports, the mobile phone power port and the headphone jacks of your iPhone, your Android phone. And so I was able to purchase this product and a website, and that's all it was. There was no sales, there was no branding. It was really just some inventory and a URL.
Oh, so the website that you bought wasn't even e-commerce. It was just about the product.
It was about the product. There was one sale that occurred on eBay for $5, so that was my validation.
Wow.
prior to acquiring it. But it was less than $500 investment, again, to get that basic website up and to really start from the ground up.
And so that was a physical product that you were selling.
Right, this was a physical product. Prior to all of this, I had some experience with a SaaS-based product. So I was familiar with internet marketing from about 2011. A lot had changed by 2014, but it was still the same basics of a WordPress site and integrating an e-commerce element through WooCommerce.
Is that how you went about selling that product? Like, did you set up your own e-commerce site, or is that when you explored Amazon?
No, initially starting with my own e-commerce and a couple keeping some listings going on eBay, which, as you know, if you've ever sold on eBay, it's more of a flea market than a profitable e-commerce channel for this particular type of product. So I recognize the power of Amazon and Amazon Prime. I've been a member for many years, and you know, just how it's transformed into the largest retail space in the planet. So I knew I had to get there. I knew that that would probably be a channel that I'd want to explore. But yeah, like I said, initially it was just my website and eBay, and sales were starting to trickle in. I really didn't have a lot of competition, but having to be discovered through the traditional Google search engine, it wasn't a lot of traffic. So maybe 4 or 5 sales a week at first, and you know, just enough to kind of keep my motivation there, that I'm selling products, I'm actually shipping products, I am making some money, but far from what I would later find out on Amazon was how much better it was.
And then when did you kind of discover Amazon and really sink your teeth into that?
Yeah, so the timing for that was September 2014, probably late August, early September, and it was a little bit of a perfect storm. I was able to I subscribed to a email newsletter. There was very little information out there as far as how to get your products as a sole proprietor onto Amazon, what's called FBA, Fulfillment by Amazon, where they do the shipping, they do the customer service, they collect the payment, you essentially just ship it in to them and let them handle the rest. So I kind of pushed through the pain of that learning curve. I did eventually find a course through Udemy on how to do it, and that helped to kind of have that framework of how to prep your products, how to label them, everything from purchasing UPC codes to the proper documentation and shipping labels and getting them into Amazon. So by the time they arrived in early September, sales again were just starting to trickle in. Right then the iPhone 6 launched. And that was pretty transformative, that my product being in the mobile phone space, there was a big spike in people just, when you buy a new phone, just like when you'd buy a new car, you look for accessories.
Yeah, and your thing was compatible with the iPhone 6?
Yeah, as far as Apple being the monster that they are, that just having a product launch drives an enormous amount of purchasers to Amazon.
Yeah,
looking
I bet.
For accessories. So, like I mentioned, I have a very unique accessory with very little competition. It's a narrow niche of users, but it's a large pool based on it applied to Apple iPhone 6 users. And so that combined with the traffic and the exposure that Amazon Prime delivers, it was a perfect storm, and I started almost immediately noticing 5 sales a day, and I was really thrilled, and then I hit 10 sales a day, and I didn't think it could get much better, and then 20 sales, and then 30 sales a day. It just kept going hockey curve straight up.
Yeah. Can you give us some kind of sense on revenue numbers or even profit numbers? What does this look like? Like, is it enough to support your family at this point, or is it what are things looking like?
Yeah. So my original goal really was to replace my full-time income. And so at this point, I'm actually about 70, 75% of the way there. So it's been, since April 2014. In terms of monthly revenue, this one particular product line through Amazon does about $11,000 to $12,000, depending. I'm in Q4 right now. We're almost at Christmas, so it's about $12,000 to $12,500 right now is the run rate. But traditionally, about $10,000 to $12,000 a month in sales. Of course, Amazon takes a cut. You've got your cost of goods sold. You've got delivery, shipping, PPC, all of those costs take off the top. So, like I said, I'm not there yet. That's why looking at other ways to supplement the income through this productized service and
well, that's when you and I met, and we had a really good conversation about kind of looking at your options, right? So at this point, you'd been selling your product through Amazon, and by doing that over the course of a year, you obviously learn a lot about the ins and outs of marketing a product on Amazon and the best practices and all the kind of the secrets. Actually, when you and I were talking, you taught me so much about Amazon, because that's just a world that I'm a consumer there, but I've never really sold anything there. So it's just a whole a whole other world within the larger space of e-commerce. But so when you and I were talking, you were going through this decision process of, you know, should you kind of double down on your expertise in Amazon, or what else were you considering?
Right. Yeah, I was at a bit of a crossroads. Obviously, you know, I knew I wanted to bring a productized service to market. I originally heard you on a podcast, and it really planted the seed of this was something that really was going to tie together, you know, skill set, and I wanted to bring something to market. And I was considering, you know, looking into my my resume as far as what services I could offer. But most of all, I wanted to find something I'd enjoy doing. So when we spoke, I was considering essentially something which would be a content makeover service, you know, taking something that was recorded in one format, whether that be a webinar or a podcast, and then converting that into another format, whether it be a series of blog posts or, you know, that could be an email newsletter. So doing something like this where I'd be able to apply a lot of the content marketing that I'd had in my background. Another service that I was considering was sales enablement. So I had a product marketing background, and oftentimes you work very closely with a sales force. You take the information that comes from the company when they develop a product, and you kind of translate that into materials for the guys who go out and sell, whether that be PowerPoint presentations or
right.
Sales sheets, that type of thing. So I figured maybe this could be an outsourced service, catering more towards the corporate customer, and thinking that would be a pretty good match with my resume, and also it would look good on my experience for if I needed to return back to the corporate world, I'd be able to show I was still very current and working on some applicable projects.
But yeah. I mean, that was like a really interesting kind of line of reasoning, I thought, when you and I were talking about this, because, you know, I definitely, like, as you described those ideas, you know, the content, kind of repurposing content, and then being a support service for in-house sales teams, there is, you could hear, as you described them, like, there is some value there, and you are, like, kind of solving a problem, and you're, and there could potentially be a market for that. But it's not, you know, definitive of whether or not it's a painful enough or urgent enough problem to be solved. And it also kind of struck me as you kind of described it, it's in line with your resume, and you were kind of thinking about it more like, I'm going to design a job for myself that could ultimately be attractive if I were to ever go back to being an employee. But then that third idea where you start to describe Amazon, I mean, can you describe that in terms of like what you were thinking before you actually launched your service as it stands today? Like, what was the initial vision there?
Right. So Amazon as a marketplace is really transformative right now for internet marketers are jumping on to it. We're seeing about 40 to 50% of the products being sold on Amazon.com are third-party sellers, and these could be, you know, mom and pop companies, they could be small manufacturers, or it could be a sole proprietor who's literally slapping their label on a product, and consumers are just, you know, more as the sales are growing. So this is really one of those movements that's coming along that you don't see that often, and it's always been my intention to get out of necessarily having my personal products on Amazon, although that's something I continue to do, but to take what I had learned, and gosh, that's all I did for an entire year, Brian, was just Amazon, every piece of content I could get, every sales workshop, ebooks, and I really just lived it and breathed it long enough where I felt very competent in the tools that I had developed, and wanting to, you know, partner with new manufacturers who are coming on, or existing sellers who had been on Amazon but really didn't have the expertise to or the know-how to cash in on this amazing opportunity.
You know, I gotta stop you there, because this is, like, I remember when you were describing this to me a few months ago, and just hearing you talk about it with such a level of expertise and the granularity of really knowing this whole world inside and out, between, you know, optimizing reviews and getting the high profile reviewers to come to your product and optimizing the rankings within Amazon. I mean, I was hearing like next level stuff that I never even knew existed, you know. So, I mean, this is really just one of those examples of you just really sunk your teeth into this world. And I think first you were doing that to help yourself sell your own products on Amazon. And that's obviously why you had the hunger for the education. But then, you know, the next step from there would be to help other people in some sort of productized service capacity. And I think this is just one of those examples of leveraging your unique expertise and your unique perspective, and I think it was brilliant.
I'm thinking of getting into pet products too.
Oh. Yeah, well, unfortunately I'm traveling here, and my dog wants to kind of join us on the podcast today, so
of course. Yeah, so like you're saying, it was very synergistic in my view to keep my existing business at Amazon FBA alive and healthy, because I view it as a laboratory to try new tools as they come in, to understand what's been successful, what's a waste of time, where do you drive external traffic to Amazon? Does it have a benefit on your Google rankings, where your Amazon listing, does it show up in Google? And you know, it was perfect for me to continue to experiment with my own product line, to keep fresh with current knowledge. But like I said, to be able to do what you teach, which is really, you know, the done-for-you service, once I've found the ideal customer who's in need of this, and to simplify that process for them, because it is, like we said earlier, it's attracting a lot of attention with people, the success stories that are coming out of Amazon private label sellers who are making a really strong living. But for me, also looking at the future, that when you build too much of your income reliant on someone else's platform, anything could happen overnight, and you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. So I knew that eventually I wanted to transition to this type of service. There was no software involved. There was no development cycle that was going to slow me down. It was really just, how fast can I put together a website that clarifies it and my packages and bring it to market.
Yeah, and so speaking of, just so we get it out there, the website for your new service is fbamarketing.com.
And, yep, that's correct.
Yeah, that's where people can kind of check it out. But you know, it looks great right now, and it actually looks, you know, pretty well polished, and it's an existing running company. But take us back to so once you kind of settled on, okay, I'm going to go down this path of exploring this productized service within for Amazon sellers or new Amazon sellers, people, you know, moving to Amazon. What were your very first steps to get this thing together?
Yeah, so obviously I'm going through your material with the productized coursework, and continuing to drill down on what my single offering would be. I think it was very easy to say, well, I should offer this, and I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do YouTube ads, and I can, there was a lot of things that I could probably have inflated my packages to be. So I really started with those packages, the service packages, to try and not be a full service, but to be known for one thing. And, eventually I could probably expand with upsells and additional offerings, but I really wanted to start off with the core, which is, in order to sell on Amazon, you need to have your listing, even before you have your product. To Amazon's warehouse, you need to get your listing. And so this was really, looking at understanding the pains that my current customers were facing, that oftentimes they were overwhelmed by that onboarding process. They were uncomfortable in the back end of Amazon setting things up, And they really just needed, they needed this to be done for them. And to be able to have that final product, which comes to them, where they literally can just copy and paste it into their back end of Amazon and hit publish and have a, have an active listing as soon as the inventory hits. So starting with understanding what my pricing would be, my, my packages, that was the starting point. And then it was really, you know, how quickly could I share it with people and other sellers to kind of get their opinion. And
very cool. Can you give us a rundown of what the packages are as they stand today? I mean, obviously these might change over time, but what do the pricing and the packages look like, and what's included in that? Just so people have an idea.
Sure. So the basic package is the listing itself, and that is, you know, you go through their product. There's a discovery process. You want to understand, you know, what sets them apart. You have to understand the Amazon buyer mentality a little bit, that they're shopping at light speed, oftentimes on their mobile phone, oftentimes on a retail setting. You know, they're comparing products at a store. They don't know which one. So the way that things are marketed there is very different than it would be, say, on your website or in your physical store. So this listing package starts with the title, which is one of the most important ranking factors for where you'll show up on the results. The bullet points, and if you're, you know, if you think about that process, obviously the product image is going to attract your eye, the title, the bullet points. Then comes the product description, and this is, you know, part sales copy, part you know, product specifications, part you know, motivating them to add it to their cart and buy it. So I include those features. I also take the if you've been on Amazon and you see a product and you'll get to the product description, you'll just see this ugly block of copy. If you read it, it may be really good content, but it's not formatted properly to show up with HTML. So some very, very basic HTML here. We're just talking line breaks and bold, making it stand out on the device that the person is reading it on. And then, of course, the keywords. This is really important. Unlike to be able to tell Amazon, you can tell Amazon directly what search terms you want your product to be served on.
Yeah.
So when the customer enters,
wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy for Google?
So I give them. that's kind of what I was going to say. And it used to be a little bit more like that on Google years ago when it was more simplified through tags and things like that to kind of direct Google. But Amazon is behind a little bit, so it is a little bit more primitive in that sense that you tell them this is what I want to rank for.
Yeah.
And
so,
the next one,
I mean, like the other packages, you're kind of adding.
Well,
the review, the product reviews seem to be a major piece. Is that right?
Product reviews are huge. I mean, if you ask yourself, if you're looking at a product and it's great pictures, great title, seems to do everything I want, but you'll see that be the first to review it. Do you really want to be the first to review it, or does your radar go up and say, you know, there might be something wrong with this, and that's why it does? I'm going to just move on, even if the next product has only a 3-star rating. You're going to feel seeing that social proof of reviews, and it isn't just that somebody's left, you know, 5 stars or 4 stars. Is that you get a buyer's opinion of the product, whether that opinion be good or bad. It's information. It's another source of information other than the sellers, and it may simply be the buyer has restated your product benefits, but from a totally different perspective. So it continues to build up this picture of how great this product is going to be in your buyer's mind. And to even make any dent at all, you need to have a minimum of 15 reviews, really, before you start to catch momentum with people buying it. And then, of course, there's things that you can do to organically get reviews, but those first 15 reviews are really the grind of, you know, how can I get them?
And so you're doing kind of like these outreach campaigns to get known Amazon product reviewers to come to the new listing and get their review in there. And you're also doing a number of other things here, you know, in the mid and upper tiers, which, you know, range from $449 to $999. And you're also charging per product. So I guess a thing that I want to point out here is you are doing a number of things. Like, there are different tasks that go into all of these packages, from coming up with the SEO title, the product description, the HTML versions, doing these product review campaigns. You're helping to set up Amazon PPC advertising. So there are a number of things that you're doing, but the key, and like you said early on, you're solving one problem, and it's all focused around helping a new Amazon seller get up and running with their listing, which is so central to if you're going to have any sort of business on Amazon. The first and most important thing you need is your listing, and that listing incorporates a number of different aspects. So I think it's important to distinguish between just doing one task or solving one problem, which can involve a number of tasks. So I think you packaged it, you know, beautifully. And by the way, you're also pricing it per product, which I also think makes sense. You know, a lot of people kind of rush toward the recurring revenue model, and they try to force things that just aren't recurring into a recurring pricing model. And I don't think that's smart. I think you know your market well. Like, somebody needs one listing, they want to pay a one-time fee. I'd imagine that your clients will have multiple products, right?
Right. So if it's one listing, but you've got variations, so I sell, you know, my coffee maker in silver, red, and black, I see, as long as the client is going to be providing me with those product images, that's simple. That's something I'm not going to charge extra for, to have those additional variations under that umbrella listing. But you know, early on, I did struggle with that. How can I turn this into reoccurring revenue? I've been lucky so far that the results were so good for the first client that I've been now working with him almost a month and a half, but we've done three of his products. So there it's spreading through his portfolio. He's an existing seller, but he said, I was looking at my listings and the way they are now compared to my competitors, and he said, my competitors look like the before picture. So I thought that was a nice testimonial I actually grabbed from him. But so I do, in my higher end one, the growth package, I do position that for 2 months, and that's, in a sense, it is a 2 months guaranteed revenue. If you think of it like that, it's one listing, but I've got 2 months of working with that client, and naturally that's going to give them more time to see the results, especially if it's very competitive. It may take 60 days before we start to get them up into the page one ranking and really noticeably increase their volume and their rankings.
Yeah.
So there it's more of an extended one. I think eventually any one of these could turn more into a managed service where, depending on the level of involvement of that seller, maybe they have a full-time job.
Yeah, I mean,
and they also want to be an Amazon. I could do a monthly reoccurring management, so there would be some type of package is essentially the onboarding, and then there's a monthly maintenance / tweaking, growing, measuring.
Yeah, beautiful. And again, like,
I haven't made it there yet.
Yeah, but I think this is smart. I think there are definitely those opportunities for this type of business for recurring revenue, but you're not rushing into, you know, a whole menu of different options right from day one. You're starting with the core. Just get your listing. Let's get some early revenue in the door. Let's prove this model. Let's validate that we have customers, and then kind of branch out and expand from there. I think it's very smart. So let's talk about that. How did you get customer number one?
Yeah, that was a lot easier, I guess, than I thought it would be. I've had businesses that have gone on much longer without seeing that first customer. But I was listening to a podcast, just like everyone else, and I heard a method of tapping, how to tap your LinkedIn network in a unique way, and I kind of replicated that method, and it worked really well for me. That's always been LinkedIn has always been an untapped resource for a lot of people, especially if you're coming from the corporate world. So I had over 900 connections, and these are people that I may not have spoken with in 10 years, or you know, some of them, it's the extent of our interaction is me congratulating them when they get a new job. But at the same time, these are the people, a lot of them with the connections to manufacturers or working at companies with products. And I was able to essentially put together a personalized email where it does a mail merge. So it would go through my LinkedIn contacts, which you can easily download from LinkedIn. And I recommend that everyone does that, because you never know, LinkedIn could change that where you don't have access to download their contact. They're your contacts. But everyone's contact information does have an email associated with it. So it'll have their name, the company they're with, and their email. That email may or may not get checked very often. It could be an older email, but considering that was a great way to start with 900 emails, I figured it was worth a shot. So yeah. I did basically an email where I'm saying, hey, it's been forever, and what are you up to? Here's what I'm doing. I just started this business, and this is what we do. We help Amazon. We help product owners to start their business on Amazon, to improve their brand presence and their sales. And this, you know, probably isn't for you, but if there's somebody that you know who would fit this qualification or does have a product, you know, I'd be very grateful for any referrals that you could send my way, and then, you know, asking if there was anything I could do for them. And then I took
I love the way that you positioned that message. You know, you're not directly asking for a sale. Obviously, it's somewhat of a niche offering that you're offering here, and you know, I'd wonder about the chances of someone who happens to be in your LinkedIn contacts who also happens to be in the market for, you know, getting up and running on Amazon. But the way that you positioned that, like, you know, it's probably not for you, but if there's anyone that you can refer me to, but chances are there are some people who you are emailing directly who actually happen to have that need. So what were the results after you sent, and how many people did you send that to?
Yeah, so what I did there with the mail merge, there's a free service. There's multiple services for this, but you could do 100 at a time with the free package. And I figured that was actually a manageable number for me. I didn't want it to go to all 900, and then I wanted some time to iterate and improve, and also just to respond. So very quickly, the first 100 went out, and right away, you know, aside from the bounce packs, I'm getting people, you know, wanting to talk about it. The first day, I had two calls were scheduled from that, and it was about a 65 to 75% open rate the first couple weeks, which I thought was good. I did the subject was I started a new business, and hey, I think that was something that I wasn't pitching them directly. I was sharing this news. And the other thing,
and just to be clear, were you, is this a regular email sent to your LinkedIn contacts, or were you emailing them through LinkedIn?
So it was coming from my personal email address, and because of that, I think that's part of the reason why the open rate was so high.
Okay.
Because I had it coming from a mass email, but not from a service like AWeber or MailChimp. It was from my personal email to their inbox. So again, that and the mail merge, making it look as though it's personalized just to them, where many people really did think it was for them. In fact, my mother-in-law was on one of them. It's kind of funny. She says, like, you know, hi, sweetie.
Right.
I don't have a product to sell right now. And I thought, oh, why didn't I pull her name out of that list? But so out of the people who received it, quite a few phone calls right off the bat. Quite a few people who, you know, this isn't for me, but, you know, I'll be on the lookout for customers. And then I would follow up with those people with a very specific template that I had that really told them, it would drill down into describing the criteria for what type of client I'm looking for. And so I think most people did appreciate that, because it wasn't just like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. So what did that look like? What did that follow-up email include?
Yeah, so that one was okay. So I would tell them because this isn't just to necessarily help a product for a product listing. It was also to potentially find somebody that I'd want to partner with on Amazon. And so I would give them some criteria of the type of product. So I'd say usually I'm looking for upstart businesses struggling to get sales. Or they're established products, but the owners don't have time to learn about Amazon. I call these sleeper products. They're interesting, high-quality product line with strong potential. They're currently listed on Amazon, but they're far down on the search results. They're barely selling, or the listing is a very poor quality, and there's few, if any, product reviews. And then I explained how I can help these people, and. And I think, like I said, a lot of the contacts did appreciate that.
Nice. And
the other people that would respond were actually wanting to learn, well, how can I get into Amazon? And so I developed another template, which was like, great, that's, you know, here's some resources. And after you've kind of gone through these resources, you can circle back to me if you need any help. Because, you know, I'm not a teacher. And how to get your product started on Amazon. I can certainly offer advice and for what it's worth, but I offer a very discreet service here that's for product owners. And I didn't, so I had to weed a lot of people out from that initial list, but it didn't take very long. It was within the first week, I did have one client I spoke with.
So this was someone on the list or a referral from the list?
Yeah, this was a direct on the list, said, hey, I have a product, check out this link. And it was a pre-workout food-based product, which I had no experience with, but I knew that a lot of what I could do could help this person. It turned out later on, after I did start working with them and did get a basic listing going, they're what's called an Amazon merchant. And these are people who sell their product directly to Amazon, just like you would sell to Walmart or Best Buy.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to them being the seller and Amazon doing the fulfillment. And it is a different set of marketing tools that are available to them. So it turned out to not necessarily be a good fit. But then, it helped me to understand these are people that I need to clarify who – you know,
right.
That I'm specifically looking for FBA sellers to help.
Got it. And then where did things go from there?
So probably within another few days, got a email from an old boss, and he said, hey, check this guy out on Amazon. And he kind of made the introduction for us and had a phone call with this gentleman who was selling in the toy and games category. And, you know, he was here in Southern California and a little bit older, so not necessarily as up to date with all the marketing tools and capabilities that Amazon offered. But he had a good product, and that was my key criteria. I didn't want to help somebody market a product that was either bad quality or I couldn't ever see myself using. Or, you know, you have to step into that the shoes of, do you want to actually partner with this person to help them?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a unique product, high quality, made in the USA. He also donated a portion of his proceeds to charity. His product was made with recycled materials. So as a marketer, I'm just thinking, this is great. This is a great story. I can help him tell it better through a better listing, through better pictures, and just helping him to drive some reviews so he can get his conversion up. And luckily, you know, it was great timing going into the fourth quarter because it's the results have been, you know, day and night for him as far as he sold out of the product. Unfortunately, he sold out of the product and he didn't plan ahead of time. The replacement products will be in Amazon December 24th. So it's too late.
But still, I mean, you guys worked together during the Christmas rush, and that's perfect timing.
Right. And so certainly there's probably, you know, I know we had a great results, although I probably will say those results were amplified going into Christmas. But I was still really able to show him weekly ranking reports and to be able to show him where he was, his keywords, how he was instantly able to jump from, you know, less than, you know, ranking 300 for a highly competitive keyword to being in the top 10. Or Amazon has what's called a best sellers rank. The lower the number, the closer to, you know, the 100 top products you are, the lower that number, the more products you're selling. So this is, again, something that I really wanted to position, and partially from your course, Brian, is how can I measure this? And that was a great way to really show a before and after, where here you were when we first started and here you are now, and here's where, you know, if we continue to do it, we can get you there. And to be able to use that to continue for a case study or to share it with a lead magnet, I think it positions myself well for new client acquisition.
Beautiful. So here we are, a couple days away from the end of 2015. We're heading into 2016 now. You've had was it over three paying clients to this point? You know, you're less than 2 months into it. What are you looking ahead to? What are kind of the next steps? How do you see this thing, you know, progressing in the coming months as we head into 2016?
So the first one is I'm looking at, now that I've gone through those 900 or so people in my LinkedIn, it took me about almost 2 months. And that was, you know, a great experience to quickly start to have a dialogue with potential clients. I've started to move now into more of a cold prospecting. Although the warm part is I'm looking at them on Amazon. So I'm looking for sellers on Amazon who need my help, who are way down in the search rankings, and reaching out to them through cold email. And that's been the hardest part. But I'm backing off right now. It's obviously going into Christmas here, but that'll be something I'll be ramping up a little bit more into 2016. I'll also be attending CES in Las Vegas, the Consumer Electronics Show. So that is January 5th.
There must be a ton of Amazon sellers.
And, you know, I try and keep things really lean, where I didn't even want to do business cards, but for an event like that, you got to have business cards. And so this is really just me, you know, walking the floor, finding interesting products, pulling out my phone, seeing if they're on Amazon, kind of getting a quick analysis on the health of the listing is, and really just kind of having a face-to-face right there to see if it would be profitable for us to work together. So I plan on that show. There's also another Vegas show in March that I'll be attending. And then the next stage I'm looking at is targeted advertising, potentially with LinkedIn. I think it's the type of advertising where it isn't for everyone, and it's really only for a subsection of product owners, those who are selling on Amazon Prime. So it's got to be something where it speaks to, hey, are you selling, you know, do you want to increase your reviews on Amazon? So it's got to be that type of lead magnet, whether it be a webinar that I'll hold, a recorded webinar or an ebook on how to do, you know, some of the selling marketing tools that are available. And so, I hope to drive some traffic from LinkedIn, which has incredibly targeted filters, you know, to be able to say these are the type of companies I'm looking at, the size of the company, the particular title of, whether it be, you know, product management, marketing, who do I want to speak to at that company. So between that and just kind of going full throttle on the content marketing side and starting to hopefully get some organic traffic from Google, I'd hope to continue the funnel and keep repeating. So that would be the customer acquisition. The other side is how do I scale and systematize, like you teach in your course. And right now, a lot of what I do is fairly manual. I do have a couple copywriters who work for me. I have photo editors. So I have the pieces in place, but it's you know, it's kind of perfecting the project brief or the questionnaire that goes out to the customer.
Yeah. So you're still in this kind of early phase of still working with the first few customers and getting the process just right, because you're going to need to iterate on that, you know, several times before it's really kind of locked in.
Right. And also to be able to take a vacation and not have to worry about it, which is potentially an area of opportunity for this business. Just for the average Amazon seller, Amazon has pretty strict rules that you do have to reply to customer inquiries within 24 hours.
Mm.
Otherwise, there could be a performance notification on your account. So that may actually be something to look at for.
Yeah, like an outsourced customer service kind of thing.
Just exactly for Amazon. So I think there's, you know, I continue to look for how could I do this as a monthly reoccurring. So maybe that's
beautiful.
Part of it too. Part of the
and
topic.
Kind of loop and looping back to the marketing side of things. You know, whether it's PPC, cold email outreach, warm email outreach, or content marketing. You know, you're in such a targeted niche. You know, Amazon selling, and even within that, there, you know, you're focused even more. So, I mean, that just lends itself well to, I mean, you know, organic search rankings, email subscribers, educational campaigns. I mean, it's just all lined up. You know, I think you're. It'll be really exciting to see how things progress into 2016 and where you take things from here. And, you know, David, I just want to thank you for taking the time to walk us through this. And I know that this is going to be, you know, very inspiring for a lot of our listeners here. So thanks a lot.
Hey, glad to help. Always happy to help people reach their goals. So
cool.
Thanks
and
for
if,
having
Yeah. And again, you know, if people want to check out your site, that's at FBAmarketing.com. Is that the best way to connect with you, or is there anywhere else?
Yeah, they can reach me through there, David@FBAmarketing.com, or send me an email. I'll be at CES this year if this airs before January 5th.
Very cool. Well, actually, it'll probably be after that. But
okay. Well, I'm always happy to offer advice and answer questions.
Cool. David, thanks again.
Hey, thank you, and happy holidays.
You too. All right, take care.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. Get all the show notes for this entire season at productizepodcast.com. And to get my free Productize Crash Course, where I share my best strategies for launching and sustaining your Productize service business, head over to productizecourse.com. All right, time to get back to working on the business.